So if you can't hear me, raise your hand. Well, that won't help either because my eyesight's going too. But we're glad you're with us. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. There's an outline in the bulletin. I ask brethren to look around and please share or give our guests a bulletin if they didn't receive one when they came in. The lesson is titled, Serving a God of Much More. Much More. I'm going to give you some Old Testament stories and some New Testament verses to illustrate this. The first story is from the Old Testament. Now I want you to just key on the phrase that I put in your notes. But I'm going to briefly tell the Old Testament story. It tells chapter 25. It's a man named Amaziah. He's king of Judah. And he was going into battle against Edom. Amaziah gathered 300,000 of his troops. And the Bible says in verse 5, these were soldiers who could handle the spear and shield. In verse 6, it says, hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel, and he paid them 100 talents of silver. Well, now a man of God came to Amaziah and said, send the hired men home. So Amaziah, I have 300 of my own men, 100,000 that I've hired, and now you want me to send those hired mighty men of valor home. Verse 9. So Amaziah said to the man of God, what shall I do about the 100 talents which I've given to the troops of Israel? Oh, wait, I've just paid 100,000 talents. I'm going to be out that treasure if I send them home. What am I going to do? The man of God answered, here's your phrase in your notes, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. The ability of God, a much more God. The second story is with Jesus in his Sermon on the Mountain. You recognize this one. And Jesus uses the phrase, much more. In Matthew 6, verse 30, he says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. In verse 32, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus says, yeah, God knows, but he will much more clothe you. Oh, you of little faith. The word much, I put in your notes, by definition, that's a lot. It's plenty. It's a great heap or a great lump. A plethora. It's an abundance. We serve a God of much. And then a God of much more. Meaning, add to what I've already given to you. In other words, I've given to you and I'm going to give you in addition. I've given to you, and now I'm going to pile on. I'm going to increase the lot. Much more. I'm going to give you four phrases that I want you to kind of take to heart in this next section. I just titled it, Do Not Doubt What God Can Do. The Old Testament story is found in Genesis chapter 18. Three men, as you remember, visit Abraham and Sarah too. But Abraham is called out to him and to them, and Sarah stays in the tent. And the three men said to Abraham, you and Sarah will have a son. Abraham's 100 years old and Sarah's 90. And Sarah, in the tent, overheard what the messenger said to Aaron, to Abraham. And then in Genesis 18, verse 11, it says, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. She said, 'After I've grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also?' And the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I surely bear a child since I'm old?" Here's the phrase. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. Sarah shall have a son. The second story in this Don't Doubt God is in Jeremiah. Jeremiah had been put into prison. And he thought, "It's going to be impossible for me to purchase my uncle Hanamel's field. How can I do that?" Well, he gets out of prison, and it happened. And so after God had given Jeremiah the ability to purchase his uncle's field, Jeremiah says this: "Now when I delivered the purchase deed to Barak, the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Ah, Lord, behold, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched hand. There is nothing too hard for you.'" Oh, is anything too hard for the Lord? There's nothing too hard for you. We serve a God of much more. The third story is in the Old Testament of Numbers chapter 11. And you're familiar with it. The Israelites had just made their exodus from Egypt. They went to, been to Mount Sinai and received the law. And now they're on their journey to the promised land. And so, on their journey after Mount Sinai, the Israelites begin to complain. Because all they had to eat was the manna that God provided. And they began to complain to Moses, "Why'd you bring us out here? You know, we had fish and garlic and onions and leeks back in Egypt. And all we have now is this manna, this bread." Well, God said to Moses, this is what I want you to tell the people. Numbers 11, verse 19. God said, "Moses, this is what you say. You tell the people, all right, you'll eat the quail, not the manna. You'll eat quail, not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month you're going to eat quail, until it comes out your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you've despised the Lord who is among you, and you've wept before him, saying, 'Why did we ever come out of Egypt?'" Moses said back to God, that he reasons, "You know, Lord, the people whom I'm among are 600,000 men on foot." And that's not all. Moses just said, "You know, we have 600,000 men. And yet, God, you have said, the people, you have said, 'I will give them meat, and they'll eat meat for a whole month.'" And Moses starts reasoning with God. He says, "Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered? Shall we provide enough for them? Shall the fish of the sea be gathered together for them and provide enough for them?" In other words, Moses says to God, "Can you do that? Can you do that?" The Lord said to Moses, "Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you'll see that what I say will happen to you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Second phrase, a statement, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Third one, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Third one, or the fourth one rather, in the words of Jesus in Matthew 19, verse 23, the disciples have just heard Jesus about the difficulties of discipleship. They've listened to Jesus' message about the hardship for some to enter the kingdom. And so in Matthew 19, verse 25, when the disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished. No, that's a hard saying. So they said, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Did you get those two and four statements? I wish I could put those in our hearts. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Too hard for the Lord. Is the Lord's arm been shortened? With all things, with God, it's possible. It's possible. Here's another illustration that I've given you, number two in your notes. This idea that God is a God of much more, the God we serve. It's in Jesus' words. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life. Ooh, that's a lot. That's much. Jesus has given us life. You know, life we enjoy. We inhale, we exhale, we partake of what life has to offer. We enjoy the fruits of our labor. We see the world. Oh, God, you've given us life, much life. And then there's more. Jesus said, and that you may have it, life, more. There's a God. The thing, the Christian life is not boring. Biblically, God has asked us to leave only those things that would harm us, either physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. That's all God has said. You stay away from those things that will hurt you. Jesus also said in Mark 8, verse 36, for what will it profit a man? He gains the whole world. And you think, I'm living the good life now. I'm the tops. But he says, but you lose your own soul. But Jesus says, I came that you might have life. Well, thank you. Yeah, that's good. Oh, but I'm going to give you much more. I'm going to give you life more abundantly. Much more. Don't be satisfied with what you have if you're just living your physical life without God. Don't be satisfied with just what the world is offering. The gain of the world. You see, Christianity, abundant life is good for here and hereafter. That's life more abundantly. The next one in number three in your notes, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Paul says to the brethren, says, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. We all have the troubles and trials, the struggles of life, temptations. Oh, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. You're a God of much. I see what you're going to do, God. That's good. And I'm in some ways, I think that's sufficient. You're not going to give me a temptation above that which I'm able. In other words, you're going to give me so much that it's limited. It can only go so far. And then God adds to it. There's an added blessing. God, you're going to do much for me. And then much more. Because the next phrase is, but with the temptation will also much more. Will with the temptation. And this gate. Thank you. Thank you. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He's a God of much more. Our temptations are common, they're bearable. And then God says, I'll give you a way of escape. In Jude verse 24, it says, now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Oh, thank you. That's a lot. I think, oh, that's plenty. You're able to keep me from stumbling. Oh, but then there's an and. There's much more. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We serve a God of much more. Then number four in your notes, the scripture says in Ephesians 1, beginning of verse 3, and the scripture was read to us this morning, that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Oh, that's a lot. That's plenty. That's good. Thank you. And then the Apostle Paul begins to list spiritual blessings. He chose us in him, verse 4. Verse 5, we have the adoptions of sons in him. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's a lot, and he adds more. And verse 11, in him we've obtained an inheritance. God gives us so much. And verse 13, having believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the guarantee of our inheritance. Oh, thank you. You're a God of much. And then there's more. In the same letter, just a couple chapters later, verse 3. Now to him who is able to do. Yeah, God can do so much. So much. The next word is more. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. We serve a God of much more. Don't you like to have seconds when you eat something good? Can I have some more
ice cream?
Well, that's what God has done for you and me. He's physically has given you more hope of eternal life. Add to the spiritual blessing that I'm able to do what I've done to you exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you even ask or think. We serve a God of much more. God is able to do. Now that he can accomplish, perform, complete. He's capable. He's able. And then he says, you know what, Brian? I can even go beyond that. I can surpass it. I can add on. I can give you 100% plus. I can go over the limits. And not only that, I can do it plenty of times, over and over again. I can give you enough and to spare. I can give you a good supply. I can give you beyond measure. I can give you over the top, higher than whatever else. I can give you peak performance. We serve a God of much more. Now here's the lesson in the last one, number 5. In Romans 5, beginning at verse 6. Take this one to heart too. I'm going to read the entire verse to you. Here it is. For when we were still without strength, alright? I'm without strength. I need help. We were without strength. At the time, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm without strength. I'm ungodly. He gives an illustration. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yeah. Perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, thank you. That's plenty. That's good. That's a lot right there. You died for us. Oh, wait a minute. The next phrase is much more than. I mean, there's something else. Yeah. Much more than. Having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, now, we are reconciled to God through the death of his son. Then another, second time, much more. Having been reconciled, I mean there's more? I thank you that I'm justified. Thank you for those spiritual blessings. Oh, there's more. Really? Much? God, you give me so much already. Oh, there's more. More. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that. Nice. Thank you, God. Thank you. I'm enjoying what I have. Great expectation. Hope of eternal life. Heaven itself. Eternity. Much more, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now receive the reconciliation. You see, our sins separate. Our sins take us away from God. I don't have a plan to bring myself back to God that's acceptable to God. God had to provide something. So Christ died. Much more. We'll be reconciled through him. Yeah. Much more. Salvation, those are listed in that verse for you to put it in your notes so you wouldn't miss it. Three times, much more. Much more. And not only that, we serve a God of much more. That's the lesson I want to have impressed in your life and mine. We serve a God of much more. We're going to sing a song. Yeah. So we want to be sure that we are in him. We're baptized into him. Galatians 3 verse 20. We put on Christ by being baptized in him. Belief by itself never puts you in him. But you can believe in him, but belief does not take you into him. See the difference? So with Jesus in his commission to his disciples, the last words before he ascended back into heaven, go into all the world, in other words, tell everybody, preach the gospel, goodness, I have good news for you, your enemies, your outside, I have good news for you. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. Yeah. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then the verse says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, with many other words, Peter and the apostles testified, exhorted the people to save themselves from this untoward, that's a good King James word. When you're outside of Christ, you're going nowhere. You're untoward. Untoward. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Next verse, as many as gladly received his word, were baptized. We're baptized. That's the invitation we extend to you. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. In verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And those who were being saved are those back in verse 41 that gladly received his word and were baptized. So if you've heard the good news, we just read in that point number 5 in Romans chapter 5. If you've heard that, you have. You believe it. You're willing to turn your life around. Be baptized for remission of sins and to receive the promise God wants to give. So let's stand together. Just simply come to the front and let that request be known while we're singing this song. Please do.